Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gents, it's the one, the only co-host with the most. How's it going? B-Train, nobody else. And today, I'm going to touch base with you on a few things. First and foremost, I would like to get Raw out of the way so I could review the most important discussion in the room, the Mae Young Classic, which I cram-watched again. And boy, I'm going to tell you, I thought the second round of the Mae Young Classic was much better, but I'll get to that in a moment. Right now, I'm going to touch base with you on Monday Night Raw, you know, the Labor Day edition. So let's see here. You know, they're starting a feud between Roman Reigns and John Cena. John Cena faced off with Jason Jordan in that match. Probably a decent match for those of you who didn't care for it. That's on you. I mean, I don't think that Omaha, Nebraska was too keen on opposing John Cena because obviously the Midwest is a lot different from, you know, different regions of the United States and also various parts of the world. Doesn't matter. It's still a wrestling crowd. Crowd is a crowd, right? Anyhow, so the match between Jason Jordan and John Cena, they had a lot of anti-Cena chants come out. I guess, you know, being a former NCAA wrestler, Jason Jordan's background showed during this match. It was definitely awesome that there were a lot of near falls. There was a point in the match, you know, where people were starting to question whether or not Cena still had it. And then, of course, as usual in Cena form, Cena gets a suplex, followed up by the Attitude Adjustment, and wins the match. Now, overall, what do I give that match? I'm just going to put it out on a limb and say it was okay for what it was. These two guys gave it their all. It was a very back-and-forth match. Jason Jordan actually took John Cena to the limit, and it was a decent match. But I give it a B-minus or a B. It made Jason Jordan look strong. I mean, if that's what you're asking me. I mean, if you lose to John Cena, it doesn't necessarily mean that he buried you. It means that you lost. So then after the match, I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this, not too much. Roman Reigns comes in the ring, and it seems like it went from just, I can't believe you called my ass out last week, so I'm going to call you out this week. So I'm kind of happy about this, kind of not, I don't really care. Roman Reigns came in and said, "You're nothing but still a fake-ass bitch." And Cena, you know, like anybody who would respond to being called a fake-ass bitch, said in response, "You know, I could beat your ass. I'm going to save that to No Mercy, and then you'll find out who I really am." So Roman Reigns obliged him and said, "Okay, why don't you do it now?" Nothing happened after that. So, moving forward, okay. Where's the last people Reigns who came across currently? Yada, yada, yada. I'm sorry, I happened to read in between. I did watch some of it because I was watching late in California. I guess Raw comes on at a late hour, and so does SmackDown Live, which I'm trying to adjust myself, being always, you know, 3 hours ahead of this time zone. Keith Slater and Rhino versus Sheamus and Cesaro. I keep saying this. Sheamus and Cesaro are not that great at the tag team. They should just be individual competitors. That's my opinion, but that's not where we're not talking about individuals. We're talking about the match. So this match was very seesaw back and forth. lot of near falls, a lot of hit and misses. Rhino and Heath Slater are kind of getting the shaft, if you will. If you ask me, it was a pointless match. Sheamus and Cesaro end up getting a win because Sheamus hits a big broke kick at the end on Rhino, who was distracted, you know, by Cesaro. Give that match an F. I really didn't fucking care for it. That was kind of like the middle of the night kind of match. Okay, so then you have the winner of the Battle Royal last week, Jeff Hardy, going one-on-one with The Miz. It was a decent match, and you know what? For those of you giving this match an F or whatever, Jeff Hardy doesn't have to win the fucking title. I mean, look at it. During this match, both Matt Hardy and The Miz did get involved. And, you know, you saw a lot of back-and-forth offense on both ends. You saw Matt Hardy going all out with the high-flying. It was like attempted whisper in the wind. Miz would counter it. Poetry in motion, which there was no Matt Hardy, so there was not, that was not involved. Thanks for asking, Will. There was constant interference in this match. So the referee at one point, I believe it was the build in this match, where you see The Miz begin to shine, and did his little short arm, short leg DDT from the ground on Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy gets turned around briefly for a vague second, you know. I wonder, though. Yeah, Miz, so Jeff went for the twist of fate, and then Miz countered that, you know, to finish the match off with a skull-crushing finale. Gasp, he won clean. You know, there's times when a heel goes over clean and, you know, people are not all for that. So, I don't think it changes anything for The Miz, but I think that gives him more credibility that he can work anybody from Jeff Hardy to John Cena. John Cena to Roman Reigns, it doesn't matter. The Miz is a great worker, an all-around, you know, performer. And that's what interests a lot of fans in watching the product, right? So that was a good match, in my opinion. You know, I don't quite get creative stance on Enzo Amore, but I am going to touch base with you all on 205 Live. His, you know, his new stance on being a part a 205 Live's roster. I think Enzo fits better, in my opinion, in that division, not just because of the height, but because eventually Enzo's going to, you know, play dirty, and it's going to catch on with the fans. They're going to start to turn on Enzo. I don't know if that's possible because they still recite whatever he says, so it's up to creative's direction for him, not mine. But anyways, there's a six-man tag match. Cedric Alexander, Enzo Amore, and Graham Metelli, basically a repeat of last week. And, of course, this is Enzo's only second recorded match in the Cruiserweight division. And thumb to the eye. And it's called, you know, I guess the name of his finisher, since he has an affinity for Jordans, is called the Jordanzo, which basically he lays down hang on, folks. Kind of pause for station identification. And that was close in 5 seconds. While we're waiting, why don't we just do the advertisement section? Because the Cruiserweight division, not that exciting to some. So for those of you wishing to sign up for a school, there are plenty of schools, not just, well, my neck of the woods. Monster Factory,
Go to monsterfactory.org, contact Danny Cage. His information will be on the vehicle, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you name it. He shows up to camps if a certain someone is there. No, he shows up to camps whenever he pleases because why? He's Danny Cage and he can do whatever the fuck he wants and well pleases, okay? And he's also a very classy guy and doesn't drop F-bombs on a constant basis unless he tells you to go fuck yourself or you're blocked. That is not how you advertise a person. But I'm just telling you, he's an amazing trainer. Listen to what he has to say and you'll end up far in the wrestling business. Not only that, but if you go to NWL TPC, it is in North Kansas City, Missouri. That is on the Missouri side, Midwest side of things. There are plenty of schools. Oh, and by the way, back to my Raw review. If you're interested in the whole Bray Wyatt Finn Balor feud, this is, you know, some people didn't like what was said and what was conjured up because they think it's odd. I think it's great. I think I like the direction of what it, where it's going. Okay, next we have a match that I really didn't care too much for, but begs to differ. Okay, so Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss versus Emma and Nia Jax. Basically, this was a general match, a general manager match, and now it's a four-way at No Mercy. Emma and Nia. Nia with the leg drop to the back of the head of Sasha Banks. I cannot believe they paired Alexa and Sasha together, but moving forward, Ambrose and Seth versus Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. Cesaro and Sheamus came by to see how things were going, supposedly. And, you know, if I were to give details of this match, it wasn't too bad. So, basically, what I'm guessing, okay, what I'm not guessing, what happened was Rollins and Ambrose won the match. So Cesaro and Sheamus interfere. Rollins scores a pin off of miscommunication, whatever. And, well, Gallows and Anderson are basically a heel face. I don't know what you want to call it. They're tweeners. And basically, they, you know, you see up the ramp Rollins and Ambrose smiling at Sheamus and Cesaro because their plan backfired. Okay, so this steel cage match, Big Show versus Braun Strowman. Tell you right now, I've never seen a ring reinforced for the, you know, for any competitor except for maybe Yokozuna, and that's saying something. So, with that being said, I just want to say right now, if you watch Big Show's matches in his prior career, you'll see that he's basically dominant throughout most of his career. You see Braun Strowman in his early portions of his WWE career. You see that he's dominant. So this match was a cage match. So you can imagine what these two men put each other through. So how did this, you know, start off? And it said, you know, Braun Strowman, you know, he said that he's the number one contender now. He's in a steel cage match with the Big Show. There's a lot of superplexes, DDTs. But as I pause and think about this match, I mean, I'm pausing because it was just amazing to see these two go at it. It was such a back-and-forth match, and it made you think, okay, and then there is a laughing kid because he's out of school, and we're in L.A., what do you expect? So anyways, as I was saying, Strowman ends up giving Big Show a running power center, but you know what the problem is? Actually, there's no problem. Braun Strowman ends up destroying the Big Show
And let me tell you, I was amazed at the fact that the ring didn't, you know, power in this time, but they reinforced it. So that's not the whole focus. I mean, there were times when there were cheeses in the match. By cheeses, I mean there were superplexes. One or two of them happened. And this match, by far, is a spectacle of Monday Night Raw. And I give that match probably an A, because from top to bottom, these two guys showed what two big men can do inside a cage. Because normally you see a guy that's less, you know, less comparable, like height-wise, going against Big Show or Braun Strowman. Either one of these men wanted to give an inch, but you gotta give Braun Strowman credit where credit is due. So with that being said, I'm gonna move forward to the Mae Young Classic review, which I am prepared for that one. I feel ill prepared even though I did watch Monday Night Raw. I'm gonna tell you this right now, the Mae Young Classic's probably as interesting as when the Cruiserweight Classic came out. So let's start off by discussing the Mae Young Classic, the second round. It's on demand, WWE Network, which, by the way, in the advertisement, after that promotion, it's for free, plus your for your first month. And if you get the WWE preloaded card, which you can find at your local GameStops, Best Buy, 7-Elevens, and Dollar Generals, okay, preload price of $27.91. So you get 4 months. And if you get in the preloaded cards, you can get any pay per view from WrestleMania to Royal Rumble to any footage from NWA, Smoky Mountain Pro, anything on the network. Trust me, it is worth $9.99 per month, folks. Anyways, so the first match, very interesting to see Abby Lane, you know, with the Gator Roller, Gator Press, Alligator Press, there it is. Versus Rachel Evers, the daughter of Paul Ellering. Yeah, this match was a very, very back and forth match, but Abby Lane beats Rachel Evers with the Alligator Press, and I gotta say, every single match it seems like Abby Lane can be out of it, and you know, she takes a couple hits to the face, a kick to the face. She gets up, and out of nowhere, that Alligator Press, a little burst of offense, helps her out. Selina Deeb versus Piper Niven. I believe the WWE should sign Piper Niven because she was amazing in this tournament. And I'll tell you why later. Piper Niven ends up advancing pinfall. Princesa Sujahe versus Mercedes Martinez. Mercedes Martinez, I'll give her this. She's impressive with every single, not just the kicks and aerial maneuvers and ground and pound attack, but I was really impressed with that fisherman's buster. I like it a lot. But, you know, I've gotten to my favorite. She is, by far, I would like to see this woman get a chance to face Asuka. Kairi Sane versus Bianca Belair. Now, Bianca Belair used her hair as a whip. I think that, you know, a lot of fans didn't appreciate it, but it was something different. It added an element to this match. So Kairi Sane kicked out one of Bianca Belair's finishing maneuvers. And then she did her actual thing. She really likes that elbow, swinging her elbow from the top rope. I do, you know what, there are certain competitors in this round that I like that got eliminated later on. Toni Storm versus Lacey Evans. Lacey Evans, I mean, you got to give this woman props. She does everything to the letter, to the T. Very impressive competitor. Her kicks are on point. Everything is on point. She's a strategist, and she, you know, probably could have won this match, but a few mistakes here and there. Ended up giving Toni Storm just
the, you know, the open door that she needed. So she ends up winning on a move called the Strong Zero Pinfall, or Strong Zero. I'm sorry, not the. So
Miriam
versus a competitor that most people in the WWE universe are not too fond of, and for a reason. That is Shayna Baszler, and the reason they're not too fond of her is because she's like the female Brock Lesnar, only there for the money, and they're not paying these competitors. They're paying, you know, you get paid in a guaranteed contract for the NXT women's, you know, women's title. But Shayna Baszler, no, I mean, she's boring. She doesn't. She no sells a lot of shit, but who doesn't in the Indies? I get it. But at the same token, you know, this is James Owen, I was in MMA, blah, 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 this, all I have to do is exist. Is it all a part of the person that she's trying to build up and characterize? She's doing a good job, if that's the reasoning, but I just, to me, she's boring as fuck. She doesn't know how to take any kind of, you know, as soon as she takes a kick, there's no reaction. She's bland, and she ends up winning this match via submission, which I really don't care. Okay, so Rhea Ripley versus Dakota Kai. Now, Dakota Kai is kind of like a late bloomer. She takes a lot of moves, a lot of punishment. She is like, how do I put this? She takes the hits but keeps on coming. That type of competitor. Now, in wrestling, we got those just boring and not really all that intriguing. So you got Rhea Ripley, you know, former soccer player, whatever, so she's a former athlete, great. Match was okay. Dakota Kai ends up winning with a coup de grace. You know, and that coup de grace was from the Tree of Woe, as JR put it. Moving forward, you see Candice LeRae versus Nicole Savoy, the Queen of Suplexes. And I really like Candice LeRae. Simply not because of her indie pass and PWG, but because that finishing maneuver called the Wild Ride Neckbreaker, interesting way to do a neckbreaker, especially on the top rope, very risky, and very intriguing. So she wins out in the quarterfinals. You saw Abby Lake versus Mercedes Martinez. And finally, that alligator press did not work. But the Fisherman Buster did, and she won. So Candice LeRae, I'm sorry, I'm going to skip past this match because I really could give a fuck less about what Shayna Baszler does. It's all the fucking same. She wins by submission. Boo, friggity hoo. Dakota Kai versus Kairi Sane. Kairi Sane could be the same said no, but every one of her matches gives flavor, and this is literally a stalemate match, if you will. And so, you know, okay, so moving on to the semifinals of the Mae Young Classic, Shayna Baszler, boo, that fucker, versus Mercedes Martinez. Not a big fan of Shayna Baszler because no one really fucking likes her attitude, nor do they appreciate her being in WWE, but she did get invited, folks, and she did win via submission. Do you guys sense a rant coming on about Shayna Baszler? No, because that'll waste my fucking time on why athletes come into WWE and certain ones belong and certain ones don't matter. So I guess they get the call, right? So now, Kairi Sane, very last match tonight to determine the qualifying participants for September 12th in Las Vegas, Nevada, versus Toni Storm. So Kairi Sane, this match was beautiful. The showmanship, there's a good beginning, middle, and end. It told a story. It wasn't bland like the first match of the semifinals. No offense to you two. Mercedes actually tried. Like I said, if it was from an entertainment perspective, value of the women's tournament, all, you know, all the women belong but Shayna Baszler. And I'm just going to say it right now. For Rousey and them to show up, I don't mind Ronda showing up. I don't mind her other friends showing up. But, geez, you know, that's like a wrestler going into MMA. Only works for a few, not a lot.
It all depends on the transition, what you ask me. So I'm going to tell you right now, I am really looking forward to Kyrie Sane hopefully winning the Mae Young Classic, because if Shayna Baszler wins, so be it, she wins. There's nothing we can do about it. However, we can gripe and bitch about it because we're podcast hosts. That's what we do, right? For me, I got 3 minutes until I got to cap off a SmackDown Live preview for tonight's show on USA Network. And I don't know if I'm even going to be able to, you know, recap it because I'm in L.A. I'm enjoying myself. Which, by the way, doing the broadcast from middle of downtown L.A. is kind of, it's interesting and nothing, you know, any more different. But next week, folks, just a little preview here. We will be having Gil Rogers on our show. 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 p.m. my time, Eastern Time. Be sure to catch that. And by the way, if you haven't caught any NWL showing, you can catch it on 38 The Spot. See, they are also doing some small tourings. So catch wind of that. And be sure to catch NWL located at the Scottish Rite Temple for the time being. I said for the time being because they are going to be on tour. They'll soon go to Omaha. They'll soon go to Columbia. You'll see me going everywhere. And by hopefully next year, they'll be going to my neck of the woods, Brooklyn, New York, or wherever. They're going to Rochester. I don't care. I really like NWL, and I also like Joe Rogers because the man is pretty awesome. So, for those of you wanting to call in, the number is 213-943-3422. Again, the number is 213-943-3422. Be sure to call in. Your local, you know, good old oldies, I mean, lovelies at Wrestle Radio. This is Los Angeles edition. And so, folks, real quick, the reason why I'm bagging on Shayna Baszler is not because she's an athlete, not because she doesn't give a fuck who she's going to tear up. It's because she doesn't belong in the wrestling ring, kind of like how Brock Lesnar really could give a fuck less about WWE fans. There's some guys and gals like that. I understand that. However, Shayna Baszler is a favorite of people that actually wrestle, that actually work, you know, in the wrestling business, not just, I'm going to show them my submission maneuvers that I've seen 100 fucking times and nothing ever fucking changes. I've told you guys from the past, you know, when I watch wrestling, if it's the same old shit, why should I watch you as a fan? Why should I tune in to watch something that is so ridiculously stupid, okay? With that being said, SmackDown Live preview commences in 5, 4, what am I doing a countdown for? I don't need a countdown for this shit. SmackDown Live preview coming soon after it right now. Portion of the show, which is the SmackDown Live preview. Tonight, what will happen on USA Network as SmackDown Live goes the day after Labor Day? I can tell you from what happened last week, it might be a precursor to preview this stuff, but as I pull it up right now, what can you expect from SmackDown Live as to what happened last week with Randy Orton, Shinsuke Nakamura, Rusev, and Jinder Mahal? So, what all is going to go down? A lot of people are speculating that Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura will go at it. So,
Okay, Natty versus Carmella. Okay, will Tanaya DiMonai Ziggy return to the ring? Yep. Will Ziggler return to the ring, or will he still hold out on WWE like Danikowski holding out on the Raiders? I don't know. So, oh, man, what a huge piece of news this is. Corey Graves to be joining SmackDown Live's commentating team. I mean, does commentating really make the difference in wrestling? For those of you who don't care, let me inform you. Without Jim Ross announcing on Monday Night Raw, people have moved on and gotten used to Michael Cole's voice, and along with Booker T, and also, I guess, a new addition to SmackDown Live. I mean, that's a coup. I mean, I didn't really expect to report anything other than preview of matches. What will happen between Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens? Is there going to be a match at Survivor Series? I mean, there's a lot of question marks going on. And also, will there be an instant fight between Rusev and Jinder Mahal? I mean, these two used to be tag team partners. There's a lot of tension, you know, during that tag. Well, not too much tension, but SmackDown Live is the land of opportunity, and also the land where you don't know where the fuck's what the fuck's gonna happen. That's why I like SmackDown Live a lot better than Monday Night Raw. It's not just because John Cena is not there anymore. It's because you never know who's going to show up, what's going to happen, and where people will be placed. Okay? So, always interesting. But the best news of the night is that Corey Graves is going to be on SmackDown Live. I guess JBL is going to appear on Monday Night Raw. Okay. So, JBL and Cole and Booker T or Jerry Lawler, I don't. And that's my other question is, why did Monday Night Raw have Jerry Lawler on there just for one brief bit of appearance? We will never know. But before I dive into off the rails, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say the following. If you watch the difference between Raw and SmackDown, Raw is created to, you know, maybe three major components right now. The women, Reigns and Cena, but mainly what Braun Strowman did to the Big Show last night. And then SmackDown Live just has it simple. Nakamura, Randy Orton, Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles. And also, Breezango adding some flavor in, you know, with whatever they do, you know, the Fashion File segment. I love their freaking show. I just, at this point in juncture, folks, the difference between Raw is that they're more theatrical. SmackDown Live keeps it simple. It's only 2 hours long, and it's easier for people to follow. Do I watch both shows? Yeah, because I have to report it to you guys, and not just because I have to, because sometimes Raw has its moments. And, you know, sometimes SmackDown, too, they can't all be good shows. But what I realize is it's wrestling, and I want to enjoy it, and I want to have a damn good time with it. With that being said, you know, I usually rant and rave, and I'm going to split it in half for you kind folks. It's the Los Angeles edition. Well, hit my music, Monkeys in the Truck. So, here's my thing, folks. I'm reading, you know, through social media, and that's a huge key now in pro wrestling. Not just that, but even before social media, promote yourself, keep learning about pro wrestling. Now, does this mean I've run out of shit to talk about, literally, going back to talking about being at the learning tree in pro wrestling? No. Mm-mm. I just happen to be reading from a certain someone what he posted on his social media about pro wrestling. And this is basically what was said. Basically, this person was saying, in professional wrestling, says, there's the pros and cons. Wanting to learn versus actually learning. Wrestling fans to care making versus fans care, making fans care. Going through the motions versus putting in the work. Making excuses versus making things work. Listening to mentors versus listening to friends. These are just a handful of things to reflect on when you find yourself at the crossroads. Professional wrestling is not easy, but it is at the same time. The plan and path is there, especially when you train. Fill in the blank. Oh, and also, this plays into last week's rant. Don't tell me what people said about me. Tell me what they were so comfortable telling you. In other words, if they can't say it directly to the source, don't worry about it, because in wrestling you have a lot of drama. Drama is something in pro wrestling that you pick up no matter where you go. Don't get involved in it. Trust when I tell you. I'm speaking from experience. If the group people don't like you, here's a little known fact. They fucking will still not like you. Okay? That's just the lot on life. Stay away from that shit. If you find a seminar and camp with the people that don't like you, fuck them, because they're not learning. They haven't learned. Speaking of that word, when you learn in professional wrestling, it's like learning in school. You learn not just how to bump, not just how to back bump, flip bump, take a bump in the corner, do that, do this, okay, here's your shine, heat, false hope, come back, take home, or whatever, false take home. It's more than just that. You're learning how to build your network. So it's like preaching to the choir. Everybody tries to build their network on social media. It's more than just fucking reaching your friends. Your friends can tell your other, their friends, hey, I know this guy who wrestles, or I know this guy who has a podcast, or I know this gal who, her name is Marietta, and she wrestles at the Monster Factory on Factory Tuesdays or whatever. Point is, guys, if you want to reach an audience, or if you want to make an impact in professional wrestling, keep going to these seminars, because they could have people that have connections, like a Danny Cage or a Brutal Bob or a Les Thatcher or a Kevin Kelly or basically anybody. Bill DeMott, Rip Rogers, Michael Capetta. Am I naming people that have been to Monster Factory camps just to be biased? No. I'm just listing off people that are beneficial to get to take notice of you. That's a different story. If you're just getting on there for the money, then you know how to channel it properly and manipulate. But what I'm talking to everybody about here today is learning in professional wrestling. And that is, if you want to be a podcast host, a referee, if you want to be a manager, a wrestler, an announcer, it's more than just, hopping on Google and researching how to do it and doing it 20 minutes later. There's people that can do it. I may not be Colt Cabana's podcast, you know, singing from an apartment and being an awesome dude reporting live, you know, reaching millions of people around the world. Me, I'm B training. I could offer you some advice, and that is learn from your mentors, not your peers. Because your peers will tell you a whole bunch of advice that helped them, not you. Also, dude, some people will tell you it's not just about connections, it's about what you do with said connections. They can either be right in front of your face, and you can say, well, I don't feel like I have a greater purpose in this business. Thing is, what are you doing to serve said business? It's not just about the sacrifice and doing the drive. Well, that's part mainly of it. You have to be the one to bring yourself to produce a career. Like, your social media has to be on tap. Then it starts with building a network. What is your Instagram like? What does your Twitter look like? Okay? What does your Facebook page look like? Because I guarantee you, there's a lot of workers out there that are just comfortably sitting in their comfort zone, saying to themselves, well, I got, 300 likes, so I'm good. You know, I'm a success. No, motherfucker, you're not. I hate to break it to you. I'm still learning this on my own. How did Russell Radio get to this amount of likes? It's not just about likes. Are you actually reaching people with your post? I know this sounds boring, but some people, like I said, you got to respect what some people feel in this business. And some people are comfortable, you know, being just in the east portion of the United States, and they never want to move forward, and that's on them. Am I worried about what Joe Blow said about my podcast? And am I comfortable with just having over 200 likes? You bet your ass I'm not. The goal for me and the host of the most is to get at least to 1,000 likes on Facebook, at least 1,000 follows on Twitter. How do we get there? The learning process. It's not going to – the answer – some of the answers are right in front of us, but we don't get to it because we're busy doing our own thing and formulating our own success. That's great. Write it down. Write down what you want to do, man. That's a good question. How did I learn podcasting? I did, I was just thrown out into the flame one time to do an episode by myself, and I finally figured it out, and I'm still learning it, but what I mean by figure out is the basics, how to play an entrance theme, how to get guests is not a, some priority to some people. You have to reach out to them in some instances, and if you're sought after as a podcast, as I said, learning and wrestling from all aspects is that when your ass gets hurt, you have a backup plan. Some people just do wrestling because it's something cool to tell their friends about. Is it something that is a hobby to some of you? I don't know. I can't get inside all your heads, and I don't speak for everybody. Some people do this career because it matched what they, felt the need to do, and they were natural audience pleasers or something like that. Again, I don't speak for anybody and everybody in the wrestling business, but what I've observed, some people have the confidence there, and it's not just an ego booster, an ego maniac, one that only is in it for themselves. Okay, let me admit something to you guys. Whenever you tune in to a show or whenever you watch a wrestler, you see how much they invested in themselves, right? You see what they post on social media. See how much time it takes and effort that they make to go to a professional photographer, or the time it takes for them to be a referee and they're already a wrestler, an established owner, or coach. This all depends on you, the individual, of what you decide to do. And here's another one. I would like to quote from something. So, Danny Cage, I hope you don't mind me quoting you because I did just recently, says, when dating the girl equals she's the best. When you break up equals she's a whore. When wrestling for a big company equals living the dream. When you get let go, what a scam. The business is doomed. Nothing worse than watching people try to shit on other people's dreams on how others make money just because they couldn't. Bitter is not the way to go through life. Honestly, guys, you learn something every day, and sometimes it hits home. Am I bitter that I got fired? Obviously not, because, look, I'm right here on the airwaves. I'm in Los Angeles, California. I'm happy. I'm not content because I always want to strive for better. That's just my nature. Okay? So, it amazes me how certain people take different things and they twist it because it's their interpretation of what the business is. And then there's people like me, you know, like I said, I'm one of the few many that basically found another path, another avenue. Doesn't mean I'm going to give up pursuing professional wrestling outside of podcasting. So here's the thing. Instead of, you know, me being bitter about the whole firing situation, what happened? It was over a year ago. So how am I planning on moving forward? Well, I've looked into ideas for Wrestle Radio. I've looked into ideas about how, you know, approaching a guest isn't that difficult. They don't want to be on your show. They don't want to be on your show. Plain and simple. Just like if a wrestler goes to a booking that they find out isn't the greatest, but they wrestle through it anyways just for the payday. Like I said, I don't speak for any pro wrestler or coach or trainer. I just observe what I see on my social media. And that is, certain people want it and certain people, you can tell, they want to get advice. They want to try their best. They want to do the best they can. So, learning in pro wrestling never, never stops. Always pay attention to people who have a foot in the door in pro wrestling, like a Danny Cage, like Brutal Bob Evans. Not just those two. It could be Sami Callihan, Danny Warren. It could be anybody that be willing to give free advice if you just sit your ass down and fucking listen to what they have to say. And I say that because some guys that I've seen, some gals too, they don't, some of them grasp it, some of them do. By grasp it, what do I mean by grasp it? At least they have some a semi-concept of how to get further in the business. And some guys, you know, they feel burned out. They feel that the business kind of soured them a little bit because of an incident that occurred. So that's why they say, oh, I used to wrestle. I used to do a long time ago and this, that, the other. Now I can't because I got hurt, or I can't because this promoter fucked me over bad. And now I don't know about coming back into the business. Guys, like I said, take it from experience. One bad apple cannot ruin it for the rest of the fucking world. You always can look in a bunch of other apples there are out there, and metaphorically speaking, the wrestling business. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and find the path in wrestling that belongs to you. So if it means running your mouth on a podcast like me, or becoming a referee because you couldn't cut it as a wrestler. Don't just force yourself to do anything you don't want to do. It's simple as that. If you don't want to be a singer, if you don't want to be a wrestler, if you don't want to be involved, then don't. No one's putting a gun to your head saying, oh, you know, you have to wrestle for the rest of your natural born life. That is not the message that wrestling is trying to send to you. Again, there's few irritations of mine, and that is when people who are barely fucking in this business think they know the ins and outs just because you spout off a few terminologies here and there. When, in fact, you know, until you go through the trials and tribulations of wrestling, like, I'm not – there's some guys that are living out of their cars. There's some guys living at the Y, literally to, you know, just make a better life for themselves and sacrifice. They don't have any money whatsoever, and they're going to seminars, and they're going to camps. And to me, that's the biggest inspiration that I see in this business. Now, I'll tell you what pisses me off also is guys that question why, you know, you want to just talk to them or say hello to them. There are some questionable fans, too, that, you know, do shit that really doesn't pertain to wrestling, and it's kind of disgusting, but reading through some social media, it gets annoying. As if to make yourself circulate a buzz around you that's, well, what it boils down to is, what are you learning? How are you learning? Where are you going? What sources are you going through? Because obviously, from what I've, you know, been reading on social media, it's none of my fucking business. I just scroll on past. Okay. Does it bother me sometimes? I've learned to block it out because it's just like a certain person that you deal with at work that you don't like or that you don't want any part of. You just walk past them because if you, the more you harp on it, I've learned, the more it gets worse in certain areas. Now, to get it off your chest, to get off your chest how you feel, that's a different story. If you do it all the time, does it make you a complainer? Some instances, yes. Now, some people say I'm a double standard, that I'm a liar, I'm this, that, the other. There's nothing more annoying than being called a liar in this business. And I'm going to touch on that because some of you say I'm not really in Los Angeles. Well, if you take a look in my Facebook newsfeed, where in the fuck can you find a Portillo's restaurant? Where in the fuck can you find a Creamistry restaurant? Oh, and better yet, I'm not going to touch too much on that. See, insecurity is another area that I'm learning how to get rid of. It's not an easy process because I will admit I'm insecure in certain areas, and I'm learning how to overcome those insecurities, which the insecurity of, oh, what everyone else thinks, worry about what everyone else thinks of me, worrying about what, you know, how I'm going to get social media likes, this, that, the other. From what I can tell you right now is read between the lines. Before you go to a wrestling school, research it. See if it's best for you. If it fits you, well, I'm just going to say this right now. You get what you train. You know, you get what you paid for. You get what you train for. You get what you paid for. If it's too much a hassle for you, too much of a financial investment, then don't. Don't put yourself through the bullshit of going to school for more than a year where you don't feel like you're being utilized. I should have made the move a long time ago, but Lynn should have, would have, could have. figured out the difference between feeling happy and not happy. I'll give you a good example. I had, you know, two trips. One of them was so-so. The other one was really crappy. The other one was definitely fun and amazing. It was in, started off the year going to San Antonio. So started off the year traveling. Can't complain. And then to a trip where I paid $1,300 for, saw WrestleMania, and yeah, it was a bit of a disappointment show-wise, but it was fun traveling-wise. Then, I'm trying to get to the point. Oh, yes. So I had some shitty trips and bad trips. You know what the difference is? I made a phone call to some friends in L.A. I'm here now. I'm happy. I went to a few places I've never been before. And you know what? So far, so good, because I'm actually fucking happy. Isn't that what life is all about, is being happy? Because some people have to have their egos boosted by making others feel miserable in the wrestling world. So you know how you learn from that mistake? Don't align yourself with douche canoes. Align yourself with people that can actually help you in the business. And there's a contrast of advice givers. There's the advice giver that'll tell you, go through this connection. It will get your foot in the door. What are your goals in wrestling? That's what you're asked from every fucking trainer, whether they're a shitty school or not. What are your goals in wrestling? And you know what's funny? I had time to chat with a WWE legend one time. And he said, getting to the WWE should not be your numero uno goal. You should shoot for any, you know, don't dive for every company. But he said, go to a place that fits you best. And then if you get to WWE, congratulations, you made the jump. Or were able to make the jump. You know, a lot of people dive and they fail. Am I speaking like a condescending jackass? Some of you might nod your heads and say yes. All I am speaking from is, like I said, I speak one language, and that's real. If you don't like it, that's on you. This is Off the Rails Wrestle Radio Edition. So I've got room to roam for about 30 minutes, about a half hour. I'm not trying to put you all to fucking sleep, but I can guarantee you. What I've learned in the wrestling business is, yes, there are backstabbers. Yes, there are times when you want to fucking quit. Here's the kicker. I was always taught as a kid, if you aren't satisfied with where you're at, take time to weigh the options because you may regret it later. I almost quit the football team back in high school. And I would have regretted it because we beat a long-time rival of 20-plus years. And these are the guys that went around bragging before the game, oh, we're just getting an easy win. North Kansas City is just going to roll over and do nothing. Same thing, you know, with wrestling. I started out looking for a wrestling school in 2008. I almost gave up hope. Should have, because the school I went to was, you know, didn't quite pan out for me. And, okay, saying goodbye got me fired. And, you know, a year later I'm on a podcast. Couldn't explain to you how that all went down, but it's a learning experience. You never expect the wrestling just to be smooth sailing for you. If you have an injury and you quit because of said injury, that's, again, not judging here, but that's all on you. We are the ones that make the decisions in this world, no one else. It's as simple as that. And for those of you thinking like, man, I really should go to this seminar, man, I wish I could afford this. There's a fucking homeless dude who went to a seminar, Brutal Bob seminar, and I gotta tell you, the compassion that Brutal Bob showed this gentleman in the camp in Rhode Island was amazing. Was I there? No. I just happened to read about it at my social media, off of someone else's social media. What does this have anything to do with learning in pro wrestling? You can either be seen as a condescending jackass who runs his mouth, or someone who, you know, just gives advice and they don't really follow through with any advice they give. They just give advice just to hear themselves breathe. No, that is not what Brutal Bob is. Brutal Bob is the definition of a true, kind, caring, compassionate. He's the total package. He may not be well known in the wrestling world, you know, to the non-indie fans or whatever. But let me tell you something about this guy. He gives chances to those who want to work, to those who want to give their all, who want to give an effort in this business. So forgive this man for showing what compassion and care looks like. If I eventually later on in my career, guys, I can't be exactly like Brutal Bob, but there's ways that you can, you know, start learning. He says some pretty interesting things, like don't start, you know, the weekend with having heat with others. End that heat. End it now. It's not worth it. Saying things like that makes you think, like, do we really want to have a grudge with this group of people for the longest time? No. Or do I really want to be mad at said promoter for the rest of my life? Stuff that you pick up, read on your phone, because we live practically on our phones. It's sad, I know. But learning stuff in professional wrestling, learning things like not just etiquette, not just doing the drives and learning etiquette on the road, learning how to just be yourself, because you put on persona in front of the crowd, you become that persona. Some of the guys live the gimmick. They married the business. And here is the beautiful part. Once you start learning certain things, it opens up many doors. Like, for example, how to approach somebody, how to ask somebody to be a part of your show. No, about just being personable and being a friendly person. That gets you somewhat far in certain places. But you also got to learn to be in the right places at the right time. How does one do that? Show up to these seminars. Start building a resume. Start putting yourself out there. People can't hold your hand for a booking and say, all right, here's this booking I got for you. It happens, you know, live, this, whatever. I saw your gimmick, whatever. Also, check out the promotion before you go. If it's a struggling promotion, okay. That all, like I said, it depends on your perception. Yours. Now, if you're relying on other people just to do it for you, if you want things to happen right away, just because, then you're really not, I mean, you're not picking up the main things that you're supposed to be picking up, or basic things that you should be picking up in wrestling. You can't learn trigonometry if you haven't gotten past basic algebra. Why, if you don't know what a wrist lock is, are you going to be doing a swinging neck breaker or a famouser if you can't do a simple leg drop? Learning things in wrestling can not just be move sets or moves, But learning how to mingle yourself in a wrestling world and also civilian world, because some people hate this comparison, but being in wrestling is exactly like being in the military, except for you have less horrible injuries. You're on the road consistently. You get some parts of it you get paid, some parts of it you don't get paid. I'll tell you what matters the fucking most in wrestling. It's not about one person. It's not about 10 or 12 or 14 or 400 or 40,000 or sold out MetLife Stadium or sold out Superdome. It's about, or, you know, selling out crowds just because your name. It's about the fans. They are the ones that buy the tickets. They come see you. They make sure that you make money because your merchandise is getting sold, because they buy it. They show it to their friends. They want your autograph on it. So on and so forth. If you don't understand what I'm telling you, it's all about the fans. And all we owe you guys is an awesome show. If we're not giving you that, we're not doing our job, period, point blank. And I will speak on people that bother me. Not bother, but like traits that bother me. Why, if someone chooses you to be on their show, you should say, I don't know, why'd you pick me? I'm okay with that response. I don't give a fuck. But if it's someone who says, well, I don't, can we do it at this time? To be quite honest with you, that response is, you are our guest. We'll try and see if we can do it that time, but other than that, due to work schedule, it becomes a big fucking hassle. So why am I suggesting, you know, talking about podcasting and neutralizing that area of this discussion? Because here it is. No one owes you an appearance on their show. It's all about the approach and how you present the opportunity to your guest. I guess I'll dive right into it. Egos in wrestling. Some guys you're not going to fucking change. If they want to be the way they are, let them be. Because if you spend too much time wasting and telling them, hey, you need to act a certain way, you're not their father, you're not their liaison, you're not their agent. So even then, they're not going to change their attitude of they're the shit and that their shit doesn't stink. Certain people say, I do it for the kids, I do it for the fans. Really, so where's your picture of the fans? Where's your picture of the kid that you signed an autograph with? Some of you guys are fucking missing the boat. And some of you think, oh, you know, I have a lot of fans in this area. A lot of fans translates into thousands, millions, and then some. That is a lot of fans. If you think for one fucking second that a lot of fans is 200, 300, yeah, that's a pretty big fucking number. But numbers, numbers, schmumbers. If you want to learn something, here it is. Wrestling always constantly evolves itself. You gotta get with the times or go home. And then it seems, you know, it sounds like preaching to the choir and, you know, toot my own horn, this, that, the other. No. I'm telling you what bothers me most is seeing certain people act as if they were already signed to WWE. Confidence isn't the fucking issue that I have with said people. It's the condescending attitude that I have, because eventually that'll catch on with creative. Eventually that'll catch on with wherever you go. So again, why am I worried about what these people's attributes are and what they're doing outside the ring? Because I've had some experiences, you know, with certain people. Does that mean they owe me something? No. What I'm trying to imply is treat other people how you would like to be treated. And this works, you know, all spectrums. not just the wrestling business. I keep bringing it up, but I'll use it as an example. If you got fired from the business or let go, people tend to get real fucking bitter real quick. With me, does it justify my reasoning for blasting these people like fish in a fucking barrel because I said one phrase, goodbye, thank you for all that you've done? That's different, but still. Am I mad? No, I'm just kind of, now I'm just laughing at the situation because I'm a lot happier. It's also because I found the fucking fallback. For those of you thinking wrestling is going to be your forever career, okay. So what happens when you get hurt? Do you have a backup career? And is it any of my fucking business? Probably not. Does it matter what you guys fucking do in later on? Does this pertain to all the wrestlers that I've come across? No. But some of you have the fucking ego as if, okay, I've already made it here, so I'm comfortable. I'm not going to do anything that I don't have to. Again, it's not in my jurisdiction, but kind of does piss me off because people who are not willing to change, even though the fans are wanting a change, again, the old saying, all performers in wrestling, and not just wrestling, all we owe you is a good show and pay our salary, that lie that they tell them. What I'm saying is egos me off. Confidence doesn't. Egos do. Egos as in when I ask you a simple, hey, you know, would you be interested in being... Would you be interested in being on our show? And I get the response, why'd you pick me? Gee, I don't fucking know. Maybe because I thought, you know, you were straightforward. I liked it. I like the straightforwardness of a rep because why? If you're not straightforward with certain people, they tend to walk all over you and think you're a fucking easy person. And I respect people for telling me yes or no instead of giving me a thumbs up in a fucking inbox saying, gee, maybe I should be a part of your show. We're not fucking Colt Cabana's podcast. We're not Talks with Jericho. But we are Wrestle Radio, where we give each person a platform, you know, to say how they feel. And if they're not interested, then cool. But don't give me, why'd you pick me out of everyone else? Because, like as I just said, it gives wrestlers, guys and gals, referees. We're the show that has had managers. We are the show that gave Minnie Bailey and Minnie Sasha a platform because why they are fans of wrestling. And it doesn't matter. So if you don't want opportunity, that's on you. We're not a major show. We're just a wrestling podcast that gets over 1,400 listens a week. Throwing out numbers there, yeah, overall it doesn't matter. We still get listens. So anyways, enough of the negativity. Actually, it's not negativity when it's true. When people got fucking egos in the business, it really irks me the wrong way. People know that they keep, you know, they'll keep having their fucking egos. Do I give a damn? No, because they're not changing my outlook on life. They are not changing the way I do things. So, in the format that changes, again, next week we will be having Gil Rogers from NWL Kansas City. It's a new promotion that started in January of this year and has had the likes of Steven Richards, Hardcore Holly, Ming, the Barbarian, guys, you know, names are everything in wrestling too. So understand, if your wrestling promotion does not produce names, why the fuck be a part of it, okay? I'm going to dive back into what, you know, I'm bothered about. Things how people like this section.
if you have an inflated ego in the wrestling business, yet you lack the ball sack to go anywhere else in any promotion because you make the excuse you don't have money, yet you spend money on a brand new fucking flat screen, or you spend it on a trip with your lover, you know, to Miami. Again, I don't fucking care what you do with your money, but you say you love wrestling. I say otherwise. Because some of you like to put shit in front of pro wrestling and say that you truly do love it. The reason why I'm here in LA is because I needed a peace of mind. You know, that's funny. That's an interesting comparison, but my personality, I'm all over the place. I'm a Gemini, folks. I'm not making an excuse, but I suffer from what you call multiple wrestler's personality disorder. So I can go from happy, like Shawn Michaels, to serious Vincent Kennedy McMahon, to, you know, just any personality I see fit to imitate. And I'm like going off fucking random people. What the fuck are you talking about? I am talking about loving this business and learning not just as a podcast host, but as somebody involved in the business, as a former manager, as, you know, okay, I refereed a Lucha company's match, or the entire set of matches. Gotta say, that does not put me above anybody pay grade wise. It does not put me above anybody at all. We are all equals, is what I'm trying to say. And for somebody to sit there and ask why they should be on a fucking wrestling podcast, are you fucking kidding me? Do you have that much of an ego issue, dude? Why choose you? Because I asked the question, is there any other podcast that'll ask you to be on their show? Just out of the blue. Just say, hey, man, would you like to be on our show? Blah, 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 blah. And all it takes is a simple question, Mark, saying, hey, can I be on, or could you be on my show? I didn't say, hey, you know, can I pull you behind a dark alley and let's do something dirty? I didn't fucking ask you that question, did I? Is it being psychotic? Whoa, man, I guess I won't be on your show and I'm going to spread the word. No, what this is basically stating my frustration. People I just ask a fucking question to, and it's given the third fucking degree. Why'd you pick me out of all the people? So are you giving yourself less of a platform? I mean, begs the question, dude. I'm just going to throw names out here, not under the bus. But when you have names like Travis Flip Gordon, Ronnie Nicole, Philip Stamper, Danny Cage, guys and gals or that didn't ask why we chose them, but agreed because we gave them a platform. We did not make their career. They already have careers, obviously. But they gave us a chance to give them more exposure. That's why you do this business, is more, you know, even if it's on a lesser platform, it's still exposure. You're heard by more than 1,000 people. If it was less than, you know, like 300, 400 people listening to this fucking show, then I could understand your preference, dude. But for me, it's not uncommon for me to put someone on blast. For you to sit there and say, well, I've been doing this for so many years. Well, who are you? Is the chance I'd be chanting at you if you were somehow able to make it to NXT or the Cruiserweight Classic. I saw, you know, some of the social media posts that were posted online. Some of it derogatory, you know, from a personal standpoint, fans should never be asking you that question, my friend.
But for you to be posting it on social media, I don't know what people's goals are when they post stuff on social media. All I know is for this show to move fucking forward, I don't need that negativity. I don't need it. Am I mad because someone rejected my invitation to them on our show? No. I'm mad about the way that it was said, the approach towards that rejection. I'm not mad about the rejection. I'm just simply mad because when someone asks you a simple fucking question, it's either yes or no. Maybe, I can't, or make up something. Don't sit there and fucking put it in the ground and say, well, maybe I should join your show. Dude, for fine fuck's sakes. It's not that, you know, I asked you to do something horrific to where it would scar you for life. I'm not mentioning names because, like I said, I'm trying not to be fucking petty or bitter. The simplest of all questions. Yes or no? Would you like? All the question said was, would you like to be on our show? I even gave the fucking phone number. Now, food for thought. If someone in the wrestling business were to ask you, hey, dude, would you like to show up to this tryout for NXT versus, hey, dude, would you like to be on our podcast? Now, I'm assuming you'd like to be in NXT. No one can fucking blame me for that one. Why am I bringing this shit up at the end? So I'm going to tell you what. For those of you who are just starting out a podcast and you're just beginning, word to the wise. When you find a wrestler who asks you why them, that means they're, you know, either one, insecure, two, they just wanted to question why you're asking them to be on your wrestling show. Maybe, I don't know, maybe because, as I said, it gives you a fucking platform. It doesn't make your career. It actually gives you a fucking exposure. Because in this world, you'll find people that say, I prefer, you know, my eggs, no cheese, no salsa, nothing on it, no flavor. In other words, stay in your comfort zone. Don't do interviews. Find your own brand of success. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, I think I am going to end this show in a minute or three. Be real in this business. Be honest, basically. Don't put on so much a persona that it's going to drag people away from you. I'm just being honest with how I fucking feel about the situation. Am I pissed off? You bet your fucking ass. You bet your fucking ass I am, because why? All I had to do was just say, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so's friend. This is what our show is about. I presented the platforms. I gave a sample show. I sent the fucking phone number. End of story. Some people are approachable, some are not. That's just life. Does it piss me the fuck off when someone has, you know what, dude? It does in some regards, and not the rejection, like I said, but the approach. Gee, I wonder how many big-name podcasts are going to call you out of the blue and say, hey, man, can you be a guest for like a minute or two? This would have given you the opportunity to have been on the fucking show for at least half an hour to an hour, because I can extend the show for that long. Now, we have no filters on our show. Other shows tell you what to say and what you can, you know, basically what you can say and what you cannot say. So things are filtered, things are censored, whatever. That's a professional podcast for you. Our show is not unprofessional, but as long as there's no death threats, you're good. And are the shows structured? to an extent, it's gotten better in that area. To wrap things up, folks, learning in professional wrestling is like riding a bike or whatever you like to do, throwing a football, learning to throw a baseball for the first time. You start getting the fluid motion and you start learning it as you go. I've seen certain people in the ring that just don't get it. That they, it's not from my interpretation, but just from observations as a fan. Okay? If you're only in this to make money, good. Good for you. If you're in this to please fans, great. Good for you. But if you're in this to be a condescending jackass who's doing this as a hobby, fuck you. If you're doing this to post social media because you get off on the attention you get from social media, more power to you. Use it for whatever the fuck you want to. Use pro wrestling as a stepping stool. But know this, I love this business to the point where I feel like I'm literally married to it. I've had my ups and downs with it, and I'll have more ups and downs with it because that's how pro wrestling works. So if you're going to say no to me, say fucking no. I don't, you know, I prefer not to be on any podcast, whatever. Don't sit there and be a condescending, insecure jackass and say, words, why'd you choose me and give me a thumbs up? I'm sorry I can't respond to you at the speed of light, but your name just popped up in my head and I like being fucking random. Does that answer your question? So next week, Gil Rogers from NWL, Kansas City, will be on Wrestle Radio and it's about to go down like Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali. All right, folks, I'm going to enjoy the rest of my staycation here in Los Angeles. Yes, staycation is a word like conversentuate. Look it up. And for those of you questioning why the fuck I went off tangent, that's what I do. So enjoy the rest of your day, bitches. About to enjoy the nice sunny LA weather. About to go to the beach, maybe. Have a nice day. Toodles, bitches. And if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it.
Cult of personality, the cult of personality.